Hello, my name's Neil Selwyn. I'm the author of Education and Technology, Key Issues and Debates. The third edition is being published by Bloomsbury in December 2021, and here I'm going to talk from the preface to the third edition. So this preface has been written in 2021 for the third edition of a book that was published originally in 2011. So in terms of book publishing, this feels like no time at all. But yet when talking about digital technology in education, 10 years ago can feel like a lifetime. The first edition of this book made mention of wikis, MP3 players, virtual worlds, and other digital education phenomena that have long since faded from memory. Discussions about edtech during this time were driven by notable levels of optimism, with people enthused by ideas of user-generated content, the sharing economy, and the potential advantages of being hyper-connected and always on. As such, the first edition's call in 2021 to look beyond popular received wisdoms was defiantly out of step from mainstream discussions of technology and education. I wrote the first edition of the book with the aim of covering issues that had long been acknowledged by critical voices on the fringes of educational technology, yet were certainly not major topics of mainstream conversation. As such, there was a transgressive thrill in giving these discussions the deceptively bland subtitle of Key Issues and Debates. The first edition was a book that strove to prod the majority of its readers into thinking differently about technology and education. A decade on, and this third edition is released into very different circumstances. The past few years have seen an enduring tech clash driven by widely held public suspicions of big tech companies and their activities. As such, the high-tech optimism of the 2000s and 2010s have definitely faded. Instead, the 2020s is turning out to be a decade when populations around the world are asking serious questions about the implications of their technology consumption. Doubts are being raised about privacy, surveillance, the right to be forgotten, and the very real threats of online misinformation and other forms of digital malevolence. As such, the bigger picture stance of the previous two editions of this book now seem rather obvious and tame. We're living in times when most people are now well aware that digital technologies are fraught with difficulty and danger. In educational terms, the topic of digital technology has also recently taken on an increasingly serious and unsettling nature. The role of digital education was thrust to the forefront of public consciousness by the abrupt COVID-19 school shutdowns and the rapid switchover to remote learning at the beginning of the 2020s. As a result, the prospect of fully online education is now being taken really seriously by institutions and authorities that previously would have dismissed such changes. Suddenly, digital education is seen as a means of remaining viable in times of economic uncertainty and continued global instability. At the same time, some educators, students, parents, and employers are raising valid concerns over the ways in which education is pivoting over to digital modes of provision. These conversations are often not about technology per se, but relate instead to wider concerns over the values that we want our contemporary education systems to embody. So all told, the 2020s feel like very different times to be writing a book like this. It's therefore important that those of us who felt sceptical about the evangelicism and hype surrounding educational technology during the 2010s retain an equally wary eye during the 2020s on any doomsterism or nostalgic rejection of all things digital. Digital technology is not a completely bad thing, any more than it was ever a completely good thing. Our discussions around this topic need to remain sophisticated and self-aware. At this point, I'm reminded of Evgeny Morozov's subtle observation that any critique of technology needs to be approached along the same lines as literary criticism. As is the case with literature, Morozov reasons that we should critique technology because we ultimately believe it to be important enough to merit critique. So while you might passionately dislike or even distrust the forms of educational technology that currently prevail at the moment, this doesn't mean that you're completely opposed to any use of technology in education at all. So in this spirit, one of the key questions underpinning this third edition is, how might things be otherwise? What alternate forms of technology use in education might be more desirable and/or more beneficial than those currently on offer? What needs to happen in order for these technologies to be designed, developed, and taken up? What alternate education futures might we hope for? Of course, there's plenty to be pessimistic about, and many of the ways that digital technologies are being deployed in education remain deeply problematic and sometimes dangerous. Nevertheless, we need to retain a residual hope that things might be better than they currently are. So this third edition is being rewritten in a spirit of pessimism of the intellect, optimism of the will. Some sections of the book remain largely intact from 2011. For example, there are a few central discussions that I deliberately wrote 11 years ago to give the first edition a decent shelf life. There are also a couple of chapters, those exploring the history of pre-digital technologies in the classroom and 20th century learning theories, whose subject matter should remain relatively evergreen for years to come. On the other hand, there are many sections in the third edition that are necessarily new. For example, the first edition only contained a couple of sentences regarding artificial intelligence. Now we have a full chapter. Very few people in 2011 were discussing the sustainability of educational technology in light of the burgeoning climate crisis, but now these issues seem to be of fast-growing importance. There are many other additions, improvements, and refinements to this new edition that I hope bolster the book's original underpinning argument that we need to think very carefully indeed about the relationships between digital technology and educational contexts. All told, this new edition of the book is very much preoccupied with the uncertain futures that the 2020s hold. If you're looking for a quick elevator pitch to get into a suitable frame of mind for the next 75,000 words, then perhaps this tweet from a couple of years ago is a good place to start. Dan Krutker from the University of North Texas managed to construct a very neat summary of the second edition in the following 229 characters. Education and technology weaves through history and debates with the general point that edtech is contested, ideological, and on its own doesn't improve education. So instead of asking what works, we can ask what is, what should education be for, and start there. So given the increasing popular appetite for bite-sized content, it's tempting just to use Dan's tweet as the third edition. Yet we shouldn't be turning our backs on the idea of full books just yet. There's clearly still value in long-form writing and long-form reading as a way of thoroughly working through the issues surrounding education and technology. So if one thing seems certain, I think it's that the topic of education and technology is becoming even more contested, ideologically driven, and messy as ever. So these are definitely important conversations to keep developing throughout the 2020s and beyond.